Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to show number 142, and welcome to our first show of 2016. I'm Jo Moffat. I'm your host for today's show. I hope everyone has had a good Christmas, and wish everyone a happy new year. And it's delightful to be back on this sort of first official working day in 2016. As I say, I'm your host for this afternoon's show. I'm founder and managing director of Woodread. We're a specialist creative agency, and we develop campaigns with employees and prospective employees as the target audience. And so for us, it's very much about using brand techniques and the creativity of brand to engage employees. So brand and employee engagement are two things that I'm very passionate about. And very pleased to have a new guest for the show this afternoon. So welcome to Susanna Cooper, who is founder of Sales Mindset Matters. Welcome to the show, Susanna.
Oh, hello, Jo. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I'm extremely excited about being your very first interviewee for 2016, so thank you.
Well, great to have you. So we're going to be talking about a particular passion of yours, which is all around engaging employee engagement, but specifically from the perspective of sales teams and sales professionals. And we're going to get on to some thoughts about that in a little while. But before we get into the meat of the thing, can you perhaps just tell us a little bit about yourself professionally? What's your background been, Susanna?
Absolutely, Jo. Well, I'm quite old, so I'll give you a nutshell version.
It's all relative, Susanna. It's all relative.
The nutshell version of my career background is that I have spent about 22 years as a field-based salesperson, mainly within the services industry. A large portion of that time was spent working for Rentokil Initial in the healthcare division. Mm-hmm. And in all of those positions, I just sort of managed portfolio of businesses and was sort of responsible for maintaining and growing that customer base. And then I'll tell you a bit more about it later on, but sort of between 2007 up until now, I have been engaged in coaching and emotional intelligence development and such.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the nutshell version, really. I'm a sales girl.
You're a sales girl. Yes. Well, I started my career as a salesman. I used to work for Kimberly Clark, and they used to call us all, whether you were a male or female, you were called a salesman, and that was that.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was wow. Quite nice. So that was an interesting approach. I don't know whether that's still the case, but it's definitely what it was. So, okay, lovely. And Rentokil Initial was, when you say healthcare, what sorts of services and products were you selling then,
Jo,
Susanna?
Yeah, Jo, nothing glamorous, I can assure you. The healthcare division was sort of washroom services, so probably quite similar to the Kimberly Clark that you just referred to.
Right.
And really just calling on businesses. Rentokil Initial, I was sort of had an area in the West End of London, and it was literally just sort of washroom services, air fresheners, hand drying, and all that sort of thing. So, nothing glamorous,
no.
But it was extremely enjoyable.
Enjoyable, yeah. Now, when we were talking earlier about before we got onto this conversation, you were telling me about that career, and I know you made the joking point a little while ago that you've been working for a long time, so there's a long story to tell, and we were going to get the edited version. But I think one of the things that interested me about what you were telling me about was that you'd been very much on a kind of personal journey through your career, hadn't you? And I wonder whether you can perhaps tell us a little bit about that journey that you've been on, and how that's helped formulate your beliefs when it comes
to
engagement as far as sales teams are concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be my pleasure. I basically, it was my last employed position, sales position, which I basically worked both in South Africa, in Cape Town, and in England. But in my last employed sales position in South Africa, the company that I was working for had a very stringent continuous professional development policies, etc. And it was my during my CPD review with my director that we were discussing sort of what would be the next sort of training that I could do in terms of my sort of next step of development. And over my career, I had been incredibly fortunate to attend sort of top-notch sales training. And he very tactfully sort of shared with me that he didn't think I needed any more hard skills sales training as I was hitting my targets and retaining my customer base. He did, however, feel that some of my bad habits were letting me down and sort of, you know, I was making things harder for myself than was actually necessary. And he was referring to my punctuality and my organization. And he said to he felt that I would benefit largely from personal development work or coaching because he said, if you decide to make these changes from within yourself, I will then reap the benefits within the business. So what an incredible foresight he had.
And how did you feel when he told you about your bad habits? I mean, did you respond in a defensively to that, or did you
no.
Was it kind of like, oh, it's a fair cop? Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely, it was absolutely fair. I probably just responded by shrinking back into my chair and feeling a bit embarrassed. but I knew 100% what he was talking about. And I just think that, you know, back in 2007, to have this incredible foresight, he really sort of set me off on this journey of, you know, self-development and realization in terms of the accountability that I was taking, etc. So I don't know if you want a little bit more, but...
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, one of the things that we talk about at Engage for Success, or it's one of the key things, of course, are the four enablers in terms of employee engagement, and the second one being the role of having an engaging manager who can recruit, train, and support you, who can stretch you and encourage people to grow as individuals. And it sounds like, so you really did have somebody at that time who made things happen for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, and I know we're going to cover this a little bit later, but I think that, you know, it was incredible because it is still very much the thing that soft skills are not anything valuable. But in actual fact, it was the most valuable thing. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm super organized and you know, it did miracle work, but it was more in terms of, you know, being accountable and taking responsibility and stop living in all these land of excuses for all the things that I was doing wrong.
was that really a matter of looking at yourself then, was it?
Yes, very much so. I mean, the coaching that I, consciousness coaching academy that I attended it was a very much a personal journey. And it was sort of there that the penny dropped for me that, you know, salespeople, because, you know, these bad habits that I had were certainly not just me on my own. You know, I worked for companies with sort of national sales teams, and it was very common that, you know, we had a lot of these sort of similarities with these habits. It was very much sort of a personal development thing. And then from there, I've kind of grown in the emotional intelligence training and all of that. And that's where I help sales managers to, you know, get the best performance really from their salespeople.
Which is what we're going to come on to talk about.
Yeah, I feel a bit
sorry,
like
go on, you're
the,
a little,
a bit like the converted, you know, from poacher to gamekeeper type, because I know all the inside things and tricks that that we get
absolutely
up to.
Okay, so you as you say, you're first and foremost a saleswoman, and but after you'd been a professional saleswoman, you spent quite a few years doing coaching and mentoring, didn't you?
I did indeed. Shall I tell you a bit about that?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, and then bring us then right up to date with what you're now doing in terms of Sales Mindset Matters, and we can sort of really get into the meat of that a little bit more.
Sure. Well, what happened, Jo, in 2009, I brought my children back from South Africa back to the UK, and as a single mum, I decided to get formal coach training because I'd stumbled into this world that I really, really was passionate about. So I did some training with achievement specialists, and I then started my private life coaching practice called Positive Performance Coaching. And now, bringing us up to where we are now, my twins are in their third year at high school. So the natural progression for me is that I have rebranded and relaunched my business, and I'm now going back into the corporate sector where my passion lies, you know, and this leads up to, you know, the launch of Sales Mindset Matters, and it's all about attitude, which decides altitude.
Okay, so we're talking about how the particular challenge of employee engagement from the perspective of a sales team, from an individual sales professional, and if we can crack that, then we can really unleash some great results. So what would you say, and again, from your experience, which is obviously considerable, what are the particular issues in terms of engagement which high-pressure, targeted salespeople face? Because they're quite a special breed, aren't they?
Indeed. And I, you know, if I may just say before I answer that it's a kind of around that question, that the reason that I became very interested in Engage for Success was because of this particular issue in terms of engagement and the difficulties, you know, relating to a field sales type based job. I think the particular issues in terms of engagement are that selling in itself is a very high pressure environment, and it's really well known for being a bit like an emotional roller coaster. You know, the highs of hitting your target and the lows of being only as good as your last month's performance, and needing to recreate that pattern over and over. And I actually call it the zero hero syndrome, which might sound a bit negative, but this is how it felt for me, that on the first of each month, you start off at zero and you work all month, hopefully, to become the hero and smash the target. And then the very next day, you're back to zero, and the process really, really can be quite energy depleting. So for me, with this is that salespeople are expected to handle this pressure and, you know, to put on a brave face and just get on with it, sort of a little bit like just keep calm and carry on kind of thing. So I think that it's a challenge.
Yeah, so they're kind of expected to handle it without any help. It's a kind of if you're a salesperson, that goes with the territory. Just get on with it, as you say. Whereas in fact, there probably are techniques and things that can be done to help people. I mean, do you think those are very particular issues then that salespeople have that's the kind of key difference, would you say, between employee engagement with a sales professional or a sales team compared to other kinds of employees?
I would, and I mean, that's just me speaking from a personal perspective, and obviously, you know, speaking and knowing my colleagues over the years that, you know, it is jolly lonely out there, so you don't have that sort of engagement in terms of being able to sort of meet and talk to people, and I know companies do a great deal to offer support, but, you know, it comes with the territory. You know, it's high pressure and there are high rewards. And I feel when you're sort of left, it's almost a bit like a pressure cooker which hasn't got a slow release or an outlet. And ultimately, this pressure of this up and down, is sort of the lid eventually explodes. And I mean, this is a common scenario called burnout, which is so common in high pressure selling. And, you know, I think in particular when the pressure cooker situation is just left unchecked, it directly can threaten long-term productivity and employee engagement and talent retention as well.
Mm. Well, that's health and well-being, I guess, as well.
Indeed, indeed. Mm. Because we're not encouraged really to talk about our emotions or show our feelings, certainly in the workplace. We need to just get on with it. And that's the reason why that many people do jump ship and think the grass is greener somewhere else. But, of course, the truth is wherever you go in this kind of industry, you've got the same bag of challenges.
So what's the solution? What can be done about it then, Susanna, from your experience?
Well, I think like with anything, Jo, forewarned is forearmed. So, you know, providing insights in the first instance builds awareness. And for me, an awareness opens up what may be sort of a blinkered view. So it sort of just opens up, you know, so people can start looking, looking at things and thinking, right, I have a choice in my mindset or the way that I look at things rather than sort of being used by your emotions and possibly venting your emotions or taking it out when you get home rather than, because you've got to keep your brave face at work, or venting it to your colleagues, which only brings everybody down. So, yeah, it's just really a new thing in terms of adding into all the training, the hard skills, et cetera, to give some training and some awarenesses about these challenges and how to cope with them.
So are you talking here then, I mean, you're talking about emotional intelligence, aren't you, or EQ?
Indeed, yeah.
And are you talking about this from the perspective of the individual, the salesperson, needing to have that insight into themselves, or are you talking about their managers and their team leaders having that insight into them, or is it perhaps a bit of both?
It's both, Jo, definitely both.
Okay.
100%.
Can you define for me how would you define emotional intelligence? What is it?
Okay. Well, we're all familiar with IQ being the intelligence quota where we measure our intelligence. So EQ is exactly that, you know, where we measure our emotional level. So EQ is the ability to recognize, firstly, understand and manage our emotions in a way that would be proactive and positive rather than being reactive and negative.
Okay. So, and it's measurable.
It's certainly how you would measure it would just be how a person sort of manages, you know, how sort of much more in control they are, how they're able to, you know, not be stopped in their tracks by stress, you know, all of those things. But, I mean, I'll go through it a little bit more with you in some of the, a little bit further on. But, yeah, essentially, the key difference is that IQ is not something that we can do, we can't change our IQ, but EQ is something that can be
developed and worked on. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so EQ you can take into your own hands and change, and IQ is kind of what you've got. And how does that impact on employee engagement, do you think?
Oh gosh, in many, many ways. You know, I think that what's happening now is EQ is becoming sort of almost like the new order of the day, because the impact is so great. I mean, an employee who has a high EQ tends to be a solid, sort of dependable person. They're able to adapt, and they're going to be far more valuable to a company than one who, say, has this high IQ, incredibly intelligent, but has absolutely no social skills, is moody, unpredictable, and that's, you know, those two differences it's far, far more valuable to businesses to have, you know, the dependable person who's resilient. And, you know, it's becoming so much so that sort of recruitment agencies, headhunters, and businesses even employ psychologists now to do psychometric testing, which essentially tests a person's strength of character rather than their intelligence. And this mm-hmm. also, in this psychometric testing, will include testing and measuring of EQ.
Right.
And Joe, if anybody right. wants to read about it, there's Daniel Goleman. It's Daniel mm-hmm. Goleman. He's the world-renowned psychologist who founded the EQ competency framework. And he's
right.
written a book called Why IQ is More Important Than EQ. So if anybody wants to read more about that, it's a fascinating book.
Right. Okay. Okay. And I'm assuming from the things you're saying that the kind of direct links with business performance and organizational success and so on mean that this is something that actually is quite hard and really matters, rather than it being sort of pink and fluffy and nice to have. It is something that you really shouldn't be looking to ignore.
Well, I think that sort of, you know, it has been viewed as pink and fluffy, but, you know, we are in 2016 now, and, you know, we've progressed and evolved tremendously with all the information that we have. But mm-hmm. I think the fact that we've got around 75% of Fortune 500 businesses are already incorporating and training in emotional intelligence, and, you know, because the success for the business is something that they're completely aware of already. And, you know, I think that, yes, there is that issue, and it is still very much a challenge that people perceive this to be pink and fluffy. But, you know, the bottom line is that no matter what business you are in, the common denominator is that, you know, you employ human beings. And the truth is that humans are driven by emotion, whether we show it or not. And a lot of our human traits and behaviors that we display are very similar.
Right.
So the process of EQ shows us, you know, how we're actually shooting ourselves in the foot and how we're, you know, which part we're doing to get in the way of our own selves, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, it kind of comes back to your bad habits from your early years, doesn't it?
Yes. Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, when you're sort of living in that land of constantly making excuses, you don't even realize what a relief it is when you stop doing it.
It really
drains your energy and it pulls you down yeah. instead of just, you know, being accountable. And I think similarly for employee engagement and all the wonderful things that businesses are doing and the efforts they're making to incorporate, you know, employee engagement procedures, etc. At the end of the day, all of those things still need that individual to, you know, to be committed themselves and to make that choice themselves and be accountable as well.
Mm. But you're very much of the view, though, aren't you, that in the same way that Engage for Success talks about the four enablers and says there's no one size fits all, but these are traits that high performing organisations will tend to demonstrate.
Yeah.
You're very much of the view that actually the issues that salespeople face in terms of engagement potentially need a slightly different. They need a different solution. You can't just sort of lump the salesperson together with the rest of your workforce and think that the same solutions will work for all. You've got to treat them differently and approach it differently. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think this emotional intelligence is my particular area of interest is for salespeople. But I
think it's
for any employee, really.
Yeah. No, I can see that. It could work. It can have relevance across the piece, can't it? But particularly,
indeed,
it helps to address these things that can get in the way of a salesperson's performance. That's kind of
for
where
sure.
you come
I
at
mean,
it from, isn't it?
definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, so many people that I knew as well, you know, people who were successful, I was really lucky to be very successful in my sales, and I managed to just pull it off and do well. Mm. But by golly, did I sort of make it a lot harder for myself, because I couldn't find anything. I wasn't organized. I was always late. And in retrospect, looking back, it's fairly embarrassing sort of coming up with all these excuses for being yeah. late, when in actual fact, every day you've got traffic, or, you know. So it's just a huge thing that I think that salespeople get in the way of their own, you know, they make it a lot harder than it needs to be.
True.
And taking full accountability is key.
So tell me a little more then about you were touching on Daniel Goleman and the competency, EQ competency framework and things. Tell us a little bit more about that and how you use that.
Okay. Well, there's five simple steps in the EQ competency framework. And the first three steps are to do with how we manage ourselves, and the fourth and fifth steps are to do with how we manage and relate to others. And it is my firm belief that these five steps, once they are mastered, are the hallmarks of a successful sales professional. So the first one is self-aware, become self-aware. Mm-hmm. So they recognize and understand their moods, they understand how this can impact their sales results. So the first step is awareness, because if you're not aware of this bubbling pressure or this anxiety, or you know, and you're sweeping it away, there's a famous old thing where they say what you resist will persist. So, you know, sweeping it away under the carpet doesn't make these things go away. So to be self-aware is the first step. The second step is self-regulation, so helping them to be in control and able to think before they speak. And I think that's quite a key one as well, for salespeople who work under pressure. And often can appear desperate when they're banking on trying to get a sale. So sort of being in control and being able to think before you speak and not coming across on your own sort of agenda. And then the third step is, the first three were obviously for yourself. The third one is to be self-motivated. And this is where you're able to manage your emotions proactively whilst still being under pressure, as opposed to sort of freezing up and being fearful and stopping, you know. And then the fourth and the fifth step, the fourth one is empathy, and it's where they are aware of the challenges and the viewpoints of others, or other colleagues, and, of course, of the customers. So, again, it's... the agenda is not just about me and my plight as a salesperson. It's really being able to empathize with, you know, the service delivery division, the admin, you know, all to be empathetic of everybody's challenges. And then the fifth one, which is one that you would think all salespeople do have, is social skills. And this is not sort of, it's not relating to social skills as in having the gift of the gab and being able to, you know, be confident. It's
I was going to say that's a classic sort of misconception of salespeople, isn't it? That they just can talk, and that's not really what it's about at all.
Absolutely not. And this, for me, is one of the most important ones, because it's all about them having a strong relationship with their agreements. You know, their job description agreements, and also with the agreements they make to their clients, and the result of getting you know, getting this nailed, the social skill side, is that people appear to be authentic. And authenticity is something now, with all the competition out there, that people really do look for. They want more.
Really important. So with sales mindset matters, because I can't. We're running rapidly to the end of the show now. Sales mindset matters is where you focus on using those particular tools with particular organisations to help them to improve their sales performance. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. And it's just that EQ competency framework. That's all it is. It's that process.
Excellent. And if there's one thing we wanted to try and remember from this last half hour's conversation, Susanna, what would it be?
Well, I think it would be that you can never enforce change on another human. You know, if you really want to increase employee engagement, you need to address human employees about human aspects. And I think that when you engage with people on this level, this is where you get long-lasting change, because individuals in this process will be able to assess their own actions and you know, they'll be able to see what the benefits and the impact is on their own personal lives. And the beauty of all of that is the ego quite likes it, because it needs to conquer this and claim it as something discovered for itself rather than just being taught and told it is so.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, very sorry to say we've run out of time now, but thank you, Susanna, very much for being on the show this afternoon, and I'm sure you've given us an awful lot to think about. So thank you very much. And
absolute pleasure.
Another happy
thank you
New
for
Year
having
to everybody.
Me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.